Thank you for joining us here on the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 12. It tells us 6 days after the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, who was to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." There's a lesson in here, a lesson of what heaven thinks about what we give to Jesus Christ. What we do for Jesus counts in heaven. It may seem like a waste down here, but when it comes to our God and the Son of God, we need not be that practical. All the devotion, all the time, and all the energy and expense that we give toward the furtherance of what God is interested in counts in heaven. Jesus commended this woman for what she was doing, even though Judas thought it was a waste. I ended our program yesterday by asking the question, what have you given for the use of Jesus? Well, she gave quite a bit. Has anyone ever worshipped like she did and at such a cost? She apparently had insight into the real identity of this man, Jesus. She believed that he was the greatest person on earth. No one was worthy of more adoration, and when her sister Martha was busy in the kitchen on another occasion, our Lord said to Martha, and you read that in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." What was Mary doing that brought that kind of a commendation? She was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. But Martha was out there in the kitchen doing what a person would normally do. Now, friends, we all have a lot of things to do in this life, but something is needful, and that's giving attention to the Lord our God and Jesus Christ the Son of the living God. You might look back through your life and say, "I wasted a lot of time doing things that didn't amount to anything, at least didn't amount to anything eternally." Were you doing it for Christ? Then it's not lost. He saw it and he values it. Now, we do waste a lot of time with religious activities that don't seem to be going anywhere because we're not doing the kind of activities God wants us to be involved in anyway. That is a waste of time. But you may, on the other hand, have given money to a missionary or to a church organization to further the gospel. But perhaps it was misused. God still sees your heart. You did it for him, so don't regret it. Take delight that you were able to do something for Jesus Christ. It's recorded in heaven. Now, does this passage we look at here in Luke chapter 10 tell us what our living Lord in heaven thinks concerning the time you spend listening to him? He's speaking today through the living word called the New Testament. The Spirit of God brought that word from him, words he wants us to have as his followers. He brought it to the apostles and the prophets, and they wrote it down, and that's what we have in our New Testament. Why did God go to the trouble of inspiring all those words? So that you and I could listen to Jesus Christ also. Oftentimes when a person dies, whether it be a loved one or someone else, people feel a great, great grief because they didn't treat that person well enough. That's true. Between a husband and a wife, I'm sure. And a person is led to say, if only I had done something better, or if I hadn't said something that troubled them. Well, Mary, at the death of Jesus, would not have had any need for feeling guilt because she did give. She gave her gift to him. And she didn't have to be like a lot of people who might have felt guilt and said, if only I had listened to Jesus. Because Mary did listen to Jesus. Martha might have felt that way because she wasn't the listener that Mary was. No one did more than Mary. And it cost her. Life, friends, is short, and we have to show our love now, not by an elaborate funeral later. Oh, you can do that, but be sure you show your love now while a person is living. That's what Mary did. Now let's move on to verses 7 and 8 in John chapter 12. Jesus said, let her alone, let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Friends, we'll never solve the problem of poverty. And while mainline churches particularly have given a great deal of emphasis to taking care of the poor, the church was never given that assignment. It was given the assignment to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you spend all your efforts on feeding the poor, when you get that done, you may have a lot of poor unbelievers, or you might be able to say that you have fed unbelievers. But if you preach the gospel, then you bring eternal life to people, and they will live forever with Jesus Christ. Now, should we be concerned about the poor? Well, of course, but not as a substitute for the gospel. And why do people do this? Because they misinterpret a passage in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done this unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. To what was he referring? To this. He said, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And Jesus pointed out that the people who did that for his brethren were entering the kingdom. This passage has been greatly misinterpreted. People draw the conclusion that says we ought to go out and help the poor and give water to the thirsty and visit those people in prison, and then we'll enter heaven. Friends, that's not at all what the context is talking about. This is the context concerning the tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, when the Jews would be persecuted, when they wouldn't be able to buy or sell, because they wouldn't worship the beast, who is mentioned also in Revelation chapter 13. And who then will come to their aid during those days of tribulation? People who are concerned and who really believe God. They are the ones who are willing to lay down their lives for the Jews. They'll feed them, they'll visit them in prison. And those people are none other than the Gentiles. They enter the kingdom. Why? Because they help these brothers? No. It's because helping those Jewish brothers of Jesus was evidence of their faith. It was their faith that saved them. So a misunderstanding of that passage has taken people away from the preaching of the gospel, and they say, well, that's not as important as keeping these people alive. Oh, yes, it is. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, preach the word, preach the gospel, go into all nations and make disciples and baptize them and teach them. He didn't give any command about feeding people. Now, friends, we ought to feed people just because they are human beings and creatures of God. But I'm not going to put feeding people to keep them alive a little longer on this earth as a substitute for preaching the gospel, which will keep them alive forever. So we have to keep the balance here. Look around and see those organizations which emphasize feeding the poor and who concentrate on relief and welfare work. Are they preaching the gospel? Don't be deceived by this good work which they are doing, which can be a terrible work if they neglect what is eternal. Feeding the poor should never be a substitute for giving to people what Jesus came from heaven to give them. And that's the good news of eternal life. Well, we see from Mary's case, worship was far more important than the welfare of which Jesus spoke. Now, what did Jesus mean in verse 7? Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. How can one keep what she has just poured out? This is a difficult translation, and I tell you, studying Greek won't be of much help to you on this because all the Greek scholars are not agreed. But studying Greek will help you to understand how and why scholars do disagree, but it won't help you solve the problem of the text. But I urge you anyway, if you ever get an opportunity to study Greek, do it. Someone has suggested, first of all, the only way to keep something, in keeping with this translation before us, is to give it or use it for Christ, because then a record in heaven is kept for what you have done for Christ. And that, of course, they say would result in a reward. And from that has come this idea, only what is done for Christ has eternal value. Well, that's a possible meaning and certainly is an application, but it does not translate what the better manuscripts have. They give in order that, which is left out of the Authorized Version. The Authorized King James Version put it, let her alone against the day of my burial hath she kept this. And this does not translate that clause in Greek, which should be translated in order that. The American Revised Version, which was published at the beginning of this century, puts it this way, let her be in order that she might keep it for the day of my burial. Many scholars prefer that translation. Not let her alone, but let her be doing what she's doing. She has kept this all this time, and now that I'm getting ready to be buried, she's anointing me beforehand. That's the idea that comes from the text. In closing, may I say that the Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry supported by friends and listeners. We invite your questions and comments. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you to rejoice in the good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.